St. John Energy this week announced a partnership with Universal Craft and Nakukuk Topeak First Nation in a solar farm which is set to be New Brunswick's largest. The 10 megawatt solar farm is planned to be built on the east side of the city and will be named the Menaquesk Kissus Energy Hub, Kissus being a Peskatamakati Wolastoqe word meaning sun. St. John Energy's Director of Engineering and System Strategy, Andrew Ahern, spoke with Local 107.3 FM about the company's involvement in the project and their investment in renewables, targeting zero emissions by 2030.
So the project is a partnership project where the owners will be Nakukuk, which is the Topeak First Nation, and Universal Craft Canada. So they'll be constructing, owning a 10 megawatt solar farm off of the old Black River Road. St. John Energy will be the sole off-taker of all the energy. And, you know, we expect the production to be equivalent to around the usage of 1,200 homes. So the plan would be, permits would be in place by April of next year. So they'd be starting in the spring of 2026, and then they'd be finishing in the summer of 2027. So anticipated energy to be onto the grid in the summer 2027, which is good timing because that's when the sun should be shining. We don't anticipate the fog to have any significant impact on the output. The technology for solar has come a long way, so that it's even able to produce good amounts, even in low sunlight. They're actually bifacial, which means that any light that comes off of the ground is also reflected back underneath. They're constantly tracking the sun to be at an optimal angle, so they're very efficient technology. The technology's progressed a long way, but the fog in St. John will typically burn off, you know, towards midday. As the sun gets stronger, and as the sun gets stronger, that's when we really want the solar panels to be producing. But Universal Craft and Nakukuk have taken that into consideration.
In terms of using renewables and particularly the aims to sort of cut emissions to net zero by 2030, how important is this to those aims?
I mean, obviously, they're very important, as you know, the energy produced by these is zero emission energies. Birchall Wind Farm would be producing 15% of our overall energy requirements. In comparison, this solar farm will produce 2%. Even though it sounds small, it is still significant. So that leaves over 80% still coming from our wholesale supplier, MB Power. But 75% of MB Power's generation is already non-emitting. And we think that solar complements the wind very well, because in the summertime, the generation for solar is at its greatest. And usually that's when you can expect the winds to teeter off in the summertime. So we expect the wind generation to kind of be the lowest in the summertime. And then in the inverse, the winds pick up in the winter and the solar generation decreases. So we think this is a good mix for the grid. We're certainly open to more renewable production, provided there is a business case and there's a benefit. There is mechanisms to get to zero emissions by 2030. It's exactly, you know, how we go about doing that. You know, can we install enough generation? How far along will MB Power be in their net zero goals? And then what other things are available? What other tools are available? So we're still looking at exactly how we could get there, but it is possible, whether that be through our own generation or through MB Power's help or through carbon offsets.
I suppose that does lead to the question about kind of cost of energy bills for ordinary citizens, particularly. How important basically is this to ensuring that power bills are affordable?
But the Birchall Wind Farm, you know, is a fixed 30-year contract that we have with, again, Nakukuk, Topeak First Nation and Natural Forces. And that has already allowed us to absorb some of the past two rate increases from MB Power. So we've already passed on savings, and that's the year-over-year savings, to our customers from that project. And, you know, I can't guarantee anything, but we're hoping this project has a similar effect. This is also a 30-year contract. It is at a price lower than our wholesale supplier, MB Power, and it's also a predictable price. So we're able to make longer-term commitments. It certainly helps keep things more affordable, for sure.
Just wanted to ask a little bit more about the partnership. So could you tell me a little bit about kind of like how that actually works and where kind of St. John Energy fits into that?
Yeah, for sure. So Nakukuk is 51% majority owner of the solar farm. And, you know, they'll have input into contracts, into how it gets built, environmental process, as well as, you know, Universal Craft. And Universal Craft does bring a lot of expertise from the solar industry. They, have gigawatts installed around the world, so they're not foreign to solar construction. So they're certainly bringing a lot of expertise in that area. Saint-Jean Energy, really, we are entering into a contract with them to purchase the energy. So our role basically is we need to get our three-phase line from Old Black River Road and get it to the point of delivery. And then once they start producing, it's our obligation to basically purchase the energy. It's certainly something obviously we're very excited about and seeing through to completion.
Are there other kind of renewables options that you are looking into at the moment that you can talk about?
Right now, I mean, I've been asked a question about tidal energy and things like that. It's not as far along as the others, and although it's a very interesting proposition, the business case for tidal right now doesn't really support doing it in a large scale of any sort. Offshore wind is another renewable generation, but we have the real estate around to facilitate onshore wind, but offshore wind is another thing that's a really interesting development because you can build bigger turbines. But solar and wind are really the ones that stand out right now as at the forefront of being, cost effective. But certainly we're open to any technology that comes along that lends itself to be cost effective, eliminate greenhouse gases, and presents a positive business case. We're actively pursuing our goals towards net zero emissions by 2030, and we picture this as being the next step. But we're going to continue to push and push until our goals are met. So, and it's not just about reaching net zero emissions by 2030, but it's also about holding it past that, right? So it's the roadmap is about how do we get there and how do we sustain it.
This is Iona Coe for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.